Parent Q Live is a monthly podcast designed to help parents do family better.
So have you ever considered the idea that whatever you value as a parent will have a profound effect on what your kids value? I mean, maybe you haven't even had enough time to stop and think about what you really value as a parent. But today, we want to ask you a pointed question. If you made a list of what you value, would God or faith make the list? My name is Reggie Joyner, and I'm here today with Kara Powell and Kristen Ivey, two parents that I love to talk to about these issues. Kara Powell is Executive Director of Fuller Youth Institute and our Youth and Family Strategist here at Orange. Kristen Ivey is Executive Director of Messaging at Orange and the founder of the Phase Project. They both have three kids apiece, kind of at different phases of life. But here's the question. Does what you value as parents ultimately determine what your kids value?
Yeah, when I started thinking about the values that I have as a parent, so often I feel like in the moment, if you ask me, my values would just be sleep or a moment of silence alone, a second of privacy. But I think that's probably not what you're going for.
Not at all. I think there's another list somewhere. What do you think, Kara?
As much as I wish this wasn't true, it is true that what we value is incredibly influential, not only in our lives, but in our kids' lives too. And this both encourages me as a parent of a 15 and a 13 and a 10-year-old, and it also terrifies me.
Absolutely. That's been one of the things when I've been meeting with leaders around this Phase project. I've been talking to counselors and pediatricians, educators, and one of the scariest things is that it always comes back to that one issue that you have to take a look at your own life and at yourself. And I always try to steer the conversation in another way because I don't want them to actually say that because I'm thinking, I'd rather just think about my kid and what I can do for them and not have it come back to what I've got to do in my own life.
Yeah. That's good. And if you're a parent listening to this, we don't want that to make you panic. We want that to encourage you. We want that to motivate you because as parents, we need to grow, we need to learn, which is one of the reasons we do this podcast.
And I think parenting is one of God's tools to help us learn and grow. You know, as you were talking, Kristen, I was thinking about as I drive in the minivan and I look in the rearview mirror, I'm often seeing my kids. And I think I also need to look at myself more in the mirror and think about who I am as a parent and as a woman of faith and as a wife and as a friend and someone who wants to continue to grow in character and integrity.
And if you don't mind, as a parent and you're listening to this, we'd like to turn the magnifying glass for just a second to this idea of your faith. I mean, if what you value will be reflected in your kids' values, then does faith make the list? And is faith important to you? And why is faith important? Why does it matter?
Great question, Reggie. And, you know, my first thought is I can't imagine my own life without the worldview of faith and the centeredness that my faith provides for my life and my family. And boy, oh boy, I sure do make mistakes and I stumble and fall. And there are days when I'm not living out the faith that I want to live. But nonetheless, you know, without being cliche, it's the rock that I stand on or sometimes kneel on or I'm clinging to at times.
Yeah. And on that, I think that's why it is a value as a parent that I want my kids to have that kind of faith. And so we worry about it. We think about it. We're trying to figure it all out. But it's all because we want them to grow up and have this thing that we know that we've found that we have in our own life.
Because at its core, isn't faith about a relationship? And without faith means our kids face a future alone.
Yeah. Well, and going back to what you were saying about how our views and our values impact our kids, I mean, the best research shows that one of the most important determinants in whether that our kids are going to adopt that relationship, that faith relationship that we want them to have, one of the most important variables is who we are as parents. Chris Smith did this amazing study of over 2,000 kids from all different faiths, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, etc. The number one factor in the kids' faith development was the faith of their parents. As he said at a panel at Fuller Seminary, when it comes to kids' faith, parents get what they are. And so without us feeling guilty about ourselves, et cetera, we can't underestimate how important our own faith is.
And I think in the nuts and bolts of what we're going to talk about today, it's not really as much about what you say about faith, because that is important, but it's somewhere in the context of how you show your faith and how they see your faith.
Yeah, and well, what you said just at the very end, how our kids see our faith is pivotal. Because a lot of times I think I'm modeling things before my kids, but then I'm realizing they're actually not seeing it or they're not perceiving it. And again, research shows this too. Like so many other elements in kids' overall development, it's what they perceive. So are they seeing us grow and nurture our own faith or not.
Which I think drives another question that I think we've talked about when we were talking about this offline. And that's, how do you know what your faith looks like? And how do you know when you're connecting to God? And when you really think through your life, what are the things that make you feel closer to God? And what does that look like? Because if it's what we show our kids, then what is that? Is that me not smoking and drinking? I mean, what is that? Because that's the old school definition of the traditional church. I mean, this has got to be bigger than that. Right.
Yeah, I think immediately in our mind, it's easy to go to a checklist and go, okay, if I want my kids to have a good faith, you know, and have a strong faith, then how am I doing on that? Do I have a strong faith? And I want to have that checklist to know how I'm doing. You know, did I pray for a certain length of time? Did I read the right passages of the Bible? But faith is a relationship and it is personal. And so I think we do all have kind of different approaches to what connects us, what draws us into that relationship. I know that some people will be extroverted. And I used to watch in worship how some people would raise their arms and, you know, be all into it physically. And it was a outward expression, and then judge myself because I never felt inclined to do that particular outward expression.
Yeah, well, and those who are raising their arms, they may be judging you in return. So there's a lot of judgment in worship services.
Just like those who pray longer do as well.
Exactly.
But there's moments that you can discover, you know what, I actually connect with God when I get alone, when I can get into a quiet place, when I can have a conversation or a dialogue and pray, that works for me, and that there's just different approaches that we have.
Yeah. You know, I am someone who I tend to grow in my relationship with God to a large degree when I pray and read the Bible, and I like to do that in the morning. So what was interesting is
I figured you were one of those.
Do I have that kind of glow? Yeah. But when I was dating my now husband, I actually kind of judged him as not being very spiritual because he didn't pray and read the Bible in the mornings
and
like
I did.
And I
would actually suggest that he's more spiritual.
Okay.
Because I know your husband, but I would
agree with that. And given what I know about my husband after being married 18 years, he is more spiritual. But for him, when he feels closest to God is when he's serving in tangible ways, you know, hammer in hand, helping someone who's homeless. That is when he best connects with God. So for me, it's on the couch. For him, it's out on the street.
That's good. That's good.
I remember Gary Thomas wrote a book a few years back called Sacred Pathways that identified, I think it's like 9 different ways that people connect with God. And even without getting into all of those different ways, it's helpful to just know, you know, how we measure our own spiritual depth, maybe, or growth, or relationship, yeah, or however you want to say it.
Let's talk about a few of those ways, because I think it would help the parent who's listening kind of know, okay, I think I identify more with that way than that way, because I'm not a person who's going to get up early in the morning and pray for a long time and spend a lot of time in the Bible. I know that makes me less of a Christian, but I have other paths that I kind of go down, and I like to get alone, and I'm an introvert, and in nature I can kind of refuel, and so there's some other ways that I connect.
Sure. I mean, I think he actually talks about nature and how a lot of people go hiking in the woods or like to connect to God when they're out on the beach and looking at the waves and looking at the creation that God made. And that's a biblical thing that, right, the rocks will cry out and you can worship when you see the creation.
And just for clarification.
Kristen just quoted scripture, so she's obviously the most spiritual of all of us here.
Well, I just wanted to clarify, I do read my Bible sometimes.
Sometimes.
I don't want to get judged for that too much.
Oh, sure. I've heard you quote scripture. You know a lot of the Bible, right?
Usually in the KJV, though.
Yes, that's the confusing part.
Wow, that goes way back to KJ. Yeah, right. Okay, anyway. So what are some other ways that we show and that we would say we discover that we connect with God?
Some people, it really is through tradition. I even feel like with my own son, I begin to see that he is kind of into tradition. He likes ritual. He likes to know that when we're here, we do this particular thing. And some people, that's a very meaningful way of connecting to God. Other people, it's not necessarily through tradition. And it's just when we have differing approaches that sometimes it can be hard.
I think there's an artistic thing that I see both in music and art and culture that people connect and see God in different ways. I think one of the things we're clarifying here, though, and I want to make sure we talk about this, is that there's a difference in looking at your faith as being something that's private and something that's personal. Mm-hmm. Because even though your faith is personal, it's not meant to be private, especially in your home. Your kids need to see it so that you can have conversations about it. And that's really what we're pushing at.
I'm glad you said that, Reggie. Both observe it, that our kids would observe it, as well as that we would discuss it with our kids. So, you know, I think there's kind of a 3-step process. We discover what's meaningful to us in terms of how we tend to grow in our faith. And then we discuss it as a family. And then we demonstrate it to our kids.
So how does that work in your home? Because I know you've practiced this a little
bit. Yeah, just I've been thinking about this more. My husband and I have with our kids. So a couple months ago, we asked our kids, when do you tend to feel closest to God? And for our 15-year-old son, it was worship. And, you know, he's been saying that since he was 10. He's connected to God with worship. He plays guitar. He helps lead worship. He loves worship practices. He loves his friends in the worship team. So for Nathan, it's worship.
I actually disconnect from God when I hear some people sing. But anyway, that's okay. Yeah,
that depends. For our 13-year-old, she's our off-the-chart extrovert. And her answer was, when I'm at church with my friends. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Dave and I, we have tried to make it a priority to have her friends over. She's had two overnighters in the last week with friends from church. Yeah, we're all a little sleep deprived at our house these days, but we're trying to make sure that we provide opportunities for her to continue to discover that. And then our 10-year-old, she's our introvert, and so her answer when I asked when do you feel closest to God was when I'm out in our backyard by myself. And sure enough, she
when
loves
I'm away from the rest of
exactly.
you
exactly she loves reading on the grass, she loves swinging on the swing. And so, you know, before asking her that question, honestly, I just looked at that as a fun thing she likes to do. But now, since I've understood what it means to her, I'm more intentional with saying, hey, Jessica, you want to spend a little bit of time outside?
And the amazing thing about putting all that on the table is when your kids see you praying or reading the Bible, or you see, or they see each other doing any of those things, they know, you know what? They're pursuing a relationship with God. They're pursuing a real faith that they have. And it kind of allows us to kind of understand each other and to raise that value of faith as a family.
Yeah, and some of us come from traditions, faith traditions, denominations, et cetera, where there's kind of a cookie cutter approach to spirituality. And that's why I'm so glad that we're having this conversation to free parents from guilt or pressure just because they don't pursue God in certain ways like their friend or neighbor does. That doesn't mean they're any less spiritual.
I actually remember counseling a wife one day where she came in and she said, I'm concerned that my husband is not a very spiritual man. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, because of the length of his prayer. I said, oh, wait a second.
She was timing it?
Really, it was like, yeah. He doesn't pray specifically, and he doesn't pray for very long, so yeah. He must not be a spiritual man.
Yeah.
And I actually knew him, and we had had great conversations about faith and God and theology, and you know, he was a very spiritual man. It's just we have these standards sometimes that we lay over that may or may not indicate.
Yeah. You know, maybe he was praying for a short amount of time because he had a lot more to do.
I can't imagine having more to do than mom, but I'll go there if you want to go there.
I mean, sometimes we just get really busy, and that's it's true. Hard to even know how to fit our spiritual faith relationship into life. I mean, I think you say, is it a value? Yes, it's a value, but is it a value that we can find time for, put on the calendar? I have a lot of values that I struggle really, if I'm honest, about scheduling them, mm-hmm. making sure they happen. I mean, exercise is a value, but sometimes I don't exercise quite as much as I wish I would.
Yeah, sure. You know? Well, and that's where I think going back to the idea of discovering the practices or the pathways that work best for you, even the timing and the time frame that works best for you. You know, I love working out in the morning. Mm. A lot of people love working out right before
you like
dinner.
Doing a lot of things in the morning.
I do a lot of things in the morning. I do. I am a morning person. My husband says I'm permanently on East Coast time, and I think he's right. So, but you know, for me, it the morning is golden time. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a business leader, super busy from Monday to Friday. So his best times with God are over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's just honestly not feasible for him to get a focused time Monday through Friday. But Saturday, Sunday, he spends about an hour each day. And that's how it works for him, given his schedule. So I wish we had more freedom and grace for ourselves and for each other to admit that we have different preferences and different time schedules, and that's okay. It's the commitment that counts.
I remember having a friend who talked about finding time at lunch as she was at work, that lunch became her time when it was the middle of the day and she could get alone and recharge and kind of have a moment with God. I know for me, I've always been a night owl. There's certain things that I can find that I can do at night to connect. So I do think there's a timing to it as well as different styles and approaches.
It's good. And I think if you're a parent and you're listening to this, I mean, it's really simple. We would love for you to spend some time thinking about discovering what is it that you typically do that causes you to get closer to God. And so if that is the thing that you do, then share that with your kids and have a discussion with them about what they do that causes them to get close to God. And then as a family, pursue this. I remember having a conversation with a parent of a teenager years ago who came from a denomination where they just didn't talk about their faith as a family. It was a very private thing. How faith was defined. And I was having these incredible conversations with her son about faith, and she actually came up to me and she said, I'm jealous. I'm jealous because you're having conversations with my son about things I wish I could talk to him about, but I have never in my life been taught how to do that, and I don't know how to engage with him on that level. And please tell me what to do, because I don't want to miss the conversation. And that's simply why we're doing this. We don't want to miss the conversation. So we want to cue you. Discover it, discuss it, demonstrate it. So we hope that was helpful information. And if you want more ideas about parenting, please go to theparentq.org. And if this was a helpful podcast, please let us know. Give us a rating at iTunes. We look forward to seeing you and talking to you again soon.